Boom.
Yeah,
and Stephen Thrill Hill, could you please serve everyone out profile? This is Played.
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. Earth, 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 Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes a story a story. All right, our callers dropped off. Gentlemen, you will be competing against one another.
Okay.
And today we offer you Animalize This, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem. Seriously? Where you guess the petty conflict that led to violence. And finally today, License to Spill, where you guess the substance responsible for creating the mess.
You want to try Seriously?
Seriously.
Let's do it.
All right, this story involves two sisters, both figuratively and literally. They were arrested after stabbing a restaurant worker over something not worth stabbing someone over. Now, the stabbing happened when Brianna and Kiriana Long started arguing with the worker, then went behind the counter and started assaulting her. The sisters attempted to throw hot grease at the worker. One of the sisters told the worker, quote, "I'm going to kill you." Now, Brianna and Kiriana Long, they chased the worker in the restaurant while throwing things at her, including pots and pans. Now, the worker threw items back at the sisters, including the very knife that was used to stab her in the stomach.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So the worker left the restaurant and hid in a stranger's car where she tried to get help. Now, she was taken to a local hospital and had to have surgery. Brianna and Kiriana, they drove away from the scene, but they were later taken into custody and charged with assault with intent to murder, assault with intent to do great bodily harm, less than a murder, and assault with a dangerous weapon. Not for nothing, but Brianna Long was 9 months pregnant during the stabbing. Yeah.
Jesus, they knew that then.
No. She's one of the stabbers.
Oh.
Not a stabbee.
Okay.
Not the stabbee.
Wow.
She's one of the suspects. And I think she's going to be a great mom. I can just feel it. Now, the question is, what led to the stabby madness? Did they get the wrong food order? Did they discover that there were no free refills? Did they discover that there were no extra condiments? Or is it from a prior conflict? So wrong food order, no free refills, no extra condiments, or a prior conflict.
Honestly, I think it's just the condiments.
Wrong condiments?
Yeah, people don't want to pay extra.
They do not.
But ketchup's always free, as Miles says.
Okay, so you're going to go no free condiments.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going with no free refills on this one. That would make me angry enough.
Okay. No to free stab refills. Someone, that's good to know, Mike.
Yeah, I feel like soda refills, that's part of being American.
I'm going to say they got the wrong order.
Wrong order.
Okay. So why does this woman get stabbed? Wrong order, no free refills, no extra condiments, or a prior conflict? We'll find out next.
Was a tease.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Category is a serious AI profile. We got two sisters. They were arrested after stabbing a fast food worker. Actually jumped over the counter, threw pots and pans, had a knife. Then they stabbed her. Question is, why? What was this over? Was it over a wrong order? No free refills. No extra condiments, or a prior conflict.
The real reason is because these two women are bitches. But their reasoning for this, let's see here. Let's start with Mike Hawk. You went with refill. Saying that would make you mad, leading me to believe that you would stab someone if you don't get your free refill.
Damn straight I would.
I always knew that about you. Let's see. The Ted Smith.
Yeah.
Went with condiments.
Condiments.
It was not about condiments. Mm. Miles Montgomery, you think that they stabbed this woman because of the wrong order.
Wrong order.
And you are correct.
Okay.
I don't know what they ordered. I don't know what they got.
What was the restaurant? Was it like fast food or like a restaurant?
I'm assuming it's fast because they went over a counter at one point. So I'm assuming. Okay. I don't know, but there are pots and pans. Either way, this is ridiculous.
Now for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Tay.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Ah. All right, there's a lot going on the next few days, all right? Obviously, here in Seattle, everybody's fired up. I know a lot of people have. Thrill, have you caught it yet?
Caught what?
World Cup fever.
I haven't, man. I'll be honest. Sorry, I made the pastry.
Yeah, have a little pastry, huh?
Yeah, man. These things are freaking delicious. If you don't know the folks from Smash, right?
Yeah.
They came by earlier today, and it was a thank you for the auction, so thank everyone that bid on the items at the auction, but they brought this box full of pastries, and they are super good, and I don't want them to go to waste.
I mean, they're the best I've ever had. I swear to God.
Do you remember where she said they got them?
West Seattle.
Somewhere in West Seattle. Seriously, man. These things, they're so good. Trying to stuff my mouth. But no, I have not gotten World Cup fever yet. But tomorrow, I think, will feel a little different. It's got Team USA. They're in Seattle. I think the vibe's definitely going to be different.
Yeah, right. And I was going to say, I've seen there's thousands and thousands of Australians in town. I know they're all fired up. They'll all be down there tomorrow drinking around there and stuff.
You guys know I can speak French, right? They're going to talk about
This
is from, in West Seattle, Beggary
Nouveau. Oh, Beggary Nouveau.
No. Negative. Never.
Okay.
They are delicious.
That's ridiculous.
All right, so we got World Cup going on. Miles, you're a golfer. What's happening in the next 4 days?
U.S. Open.
U.S. Open, right? A lot of stuff going on. But also, Sunday's Father's Day.
Yes.
All right, so I have a list here of just kind of ranking some of the best TV dads of all time.
All right.
You guys have any guesses on TV dads?
Oh, Homer Simpson would probably make the list. Bud Bundy, I guess, in a weird kind of way.
Homer Simpson is number 8 on the list.
All right.
All right.
And it's Al Bundy. Bud
Al
was
Al Bundy, Jesus.
What'd you call him?
Bud Bundy.
Well, Bud was the son.
Yeah.
He probably had a kid.
Let me think here. Tony Soprano, maybe? Just based on the fact that he was pretty much a family guy.
TV dad.
Well, he's a family guy.
I mean, he was.
Yeah. He was a father, but I don't know that I would say he was a great dad.
Well, I mean, his son loved him. His daughter loved him. His wife loved him.
It's not hard to be loved. It's harder to be a good person.
Well, I know. Yeah.
Is it?
Honestly, the Brady Bunch dad, whatever his name was.
I don't know, man. I mean, his kids loved him, but I feel I just don't think Tony Soprano was the best dad.
I mean, if he was my dad, I'd be like, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess so.
I feel like I get watches and stuff.
All right, Thrill, who'd you say? Sorry.
Brady Bunch of that.
All right, Brady Bunch.
I got it. Bill Cosby.
Mike Brady. He's on there.
My question, what happened to his wife, his first wife?
On the Brady Bunch?
Yeah, did they ever
dress? They never talk about their
exes. It's just like, look, she's single now, he's single now, they both have three kids.
Well, if they're smart, they ran away together and got rid of the children.
Well, there was season 3 when he's talking to Alice, and he simply called his ex a bitch.
Oh,
but that's about all. You know, season 3
is a very special episode of the Brady Bunch.
On this episode, Mike Brady calls his ex a bitch.
She was a brat.
All right, get in the way back.
Andy Griffith. That's from. I'm stealing that from YouTube.
Andy Griffin. Andy Taylor is number 2.
All right, Andy Taylor. Right.
All right. Andy Taylor, number 2.
Al Bundy was number 1.
Look, you're not wrong. With Bill Cosby or Cliff Huxtable.
Cliff Huxtable was a great dad.
He was a great dad.
Bill Cosby is a terrible person.
Yes.
Right? But Cliff Huxtable, I mean, he was everybody's dad.
Is he on the list?
No.
I think
Cosby has just ruined that
for
everybody.
It's the character.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
O.J. Simpson was a great running back.
Yes.
Right. You know?
Right.
Phil Spector was a great producer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. Like, I mean, I think Bill Cosby, when you found out what he was doing, I think that was so, what made it even worse.
It's because he was Cliff Huxtable.
Right. And everybody, white, black, whatever, everybody loved Cliff Huxtable when I was growing up, right?
Michael Jackson, everyone loved him.
Yeah. So it's just crazy.
Find out things.
Jesus. Let's see. Home Improvement, you have Tim Taylor.
All right.
I mean, he was a good dad on the show. Those kids went a little awry in regular life.
Sure.
But I don't think that's on Tim Allen.
Well, Tim Allen had a fun time dealing coke.
Yeah.
All right, you guys remember this show. I want to say it was on in the early 80s. I watched it, but I was pretty small. We got one of the most famous actors all time off it. He was one of the sons on the show.
You talking about Archie Bunker?
Family Ties.
Oh.
Stephen King.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right, did you guys ever watch the Red Show? That 70s show. Red Foreman.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. He got a little angry at time.
He did, but that's a dad.
Yeah, right?
I mean, he was just a dad. Calls everyone a dumbass. You're like, yeah.
All right. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Uncle Phil.
Right. But he was
a father. Consider him a dad? Okay.
Well, he was Carlton's dad.
Right.
Yeah, Philip Banks. Phil Dunphy from Modern Family makes the list.
All right.
Let's see what else is on there. All right, again, hop in the super way back machine. I guess he was a father. You don't think about him that way because he was more...
Fred Flintstone.
No, they're all human. But think about us, like the scariest dad imaginable. Not that he's screaming at people, but the whole family was kind of scary.
Oh, Gomez Adams.
Herman Munster.
Herman Munster, all right.
From the Munsters.
Fred Gwynn.
Right. The judge in the Ralph Macchio flick.
My Cousin Vinny?
My Cousin Vinny, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Danny Tanner from Full House.
Never watched Full House. I'm very aware of it, but never watched the show.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I might go back and rewatch it. When I was a kid, you loved it, and he was pretty good. I mean, plus, it's tough. I want to say that mom had died. But, right, it's just him with, what, the two uncles, and then they're raising, what, four kids?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of tough work.
By the way, this has popped up on YouTube here, but Uncle Phil, whoever that actor was, he was also the voice of Shredder in the Ninja Turtle cartoons.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
Phil.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Let's see. From Roseanne, you have Dan Connor.
That's a good call.
Yeah. Oh, you know what, Mike? I apologize. They're not all real human beings. There's one other cartoon dad on here besides The Simpsons. Miles, you love this show. Mike and I like this show.
Is it Peter Griffin?
Close.
No. It's not Peter Griffin. Stan Smith.
Oh, Bob Belcher. Bob's Burgers.
Oh, Bob Belcher. Yep, okay. He is a good dad.
Yeah, Bob's always trying. I mean, he's just got a struggling restaurant. And then the last one on the list that we haven't mentioned yet is from Family Matters, Carl Winslow.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think part of him being a good dad was just they had to deal with that annoying neighbor the whole
the time. At some point, you're like, hey, you don't live here. Leave my home.
You would think that.
You would, especially if you're like that.
Let's see. Obviously, everybody knows this year's 250th anniversary of America being born. There is a slight chance, if everything goes to plan, that we could play England on July 4th, 250th birthday in soccer.
That would be pretty intense.
Yeah.
Right? Of all the countries you could play.
Is that what's lining up, maybe?
It's hard to tell as there's so many teams in the tournament this year, but there is a slight percentage chance it could happen.
Okay.
Yeah. I think at that point, if we beat them, because we drew with them in 2010, which was a massive deal. But if we beat them in a knockout stage, I mean, those English people would lose their minds.
I would not would even visit England until next World Cup.
Would that match be here? So I guess you just don't know. I mean, it just depends on what everyone else does.
But I don't think so.
There's like four matches in Seattle that are not on the books yet.
I know there's a match. There's a knockout stage match on July 6th here. I know that for sure. That's a Monday. July 4th, I'm not positive if we're hosting one. Okay. I know there's a couple games. I think there's two games on the 4th. But I don't think we're hosting. But still.
I'm just going to guess L.A. and New York. I don't know, but it seems to me that's how you'd try to do that.
Yeah, it would just be awesome. So this whole month, you've probably seen it, but Wheel of Fortune, they're celebrating 250. Obviously, it's sponsored by Coca-Cola, Sequest. Ryan Sequest.
Sequest. I'm wine Sequest.
Vanna White, Coca-Cola. I mean, they're just going to talk about America, how much they like it, this and that. So, you know.
With great new prizes.
For whatever reason, since Ryan's been hosting the show, I have not watched it.
Really?
And that's not intentional. You know, if it's on, I'll watch it.
It's no different. I mean,
he's going to do a good job. I'm not saying that. I haven't watched the show.
Yeah, he does absolutely fine. I mean, it's Wheel of Fortune. How can you flub that?
Yeah, I can't spell. So, like, Wheel of Fortune just never held much for me. Right? Sure. Like, I'll still watch Jeopardy, right? I'll watch it with Ken Jennings on there and stuff, but, like, Wheel of Fortune is just frustrating.
Oh, sure.
And when you can't make fun of somebody getting something wrong on a game show, like, it's not as much fun to watch. Like
idiot.
Right, at Jeopardy sometimes, you're like, God, how dumb is this dude?
Right.
You know, like, everybody knows that.
With his $90,000.
Well, speaking of not spelling strongly, Tom Holland, the actor.
Yeah.
He was, I believe he was on a podcast, and somebody asked him about Saturday Night Live, why he's never hosted, even though he's been asked multiple times. It's pretty simple. He's dyslexic.
Well, she's not trying to read cue cards.
He can't read a cue card.
He said, I'm just so petrified of the concept of trying to read cue cards and they change. Basically, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but they do like a dry run rehearsal, right? And I don't think the audience is in there. Maybe the audience is in there. So they go through it once and then they have rewrites. I can't speak now. Rewrites. So the cue cards change.
So obviously,
but they can change within like 5 minutes,
right? So if you can't read as well as other people, that would be terrifying. But Amy Poehler, he was talking to her, and she said, she's like, look, we've had people do it before.
Sure.
He's like, I just hate reading out loud. He said, you know, he's like, look, I love the idea of doing it. Like, I would like to go on the show. I think Amy Poehler makes a good point here. She goes, you can figure your way through it. She goes, there have been people who have hosted fully on drugs.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And it was me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get his point, but you'd have to think they would maybe take out some of the dialogue. There's got to be some easier way that he could do it.
Maybe. I mean, and look, man, SNL, the way, that, like you said, they do the run through, and then you have about 30 minutes, I want to say, before you go out and perform. But in that 30 minutes, right, the story stays the same, but certainly the words have been rewritten.
Yeah, especially for Stefan.
Oh, God, yeah. That became intentional.
Yeah. Well, even Nate Bargatze, right?
Yeah.
Like, I love that skit where they're, like, inventing the country.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just all the stupid stuff.
He's playing George Washington.
Right, he's playing George Washington and, like, talk about football, but it's, you know, you play with your hands and, like, how we get rid of the H, but it stays in some words, like color. So he's told this story famously that he writes that whole thing, but at the table read, just nobody, like, he's just
there's
like,
no
man.
Laughs, right?
Right, it sucks or whatever. Then they do that dry run, and it gets, like, a pop from the audience. And then, I mean, it goes on to be probably the best, in my opinion, the best skit of that episode. So you're right, like, there's so much change happening constantly. Like, look, you could hear me right now. I'm struggling to read out loud. If SNL calls me and goes, Ted Smith, do you want to host? Like, bet your ass I'm going and hosting.
The difference is he's Tom Holland.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that right. If they called any of us, we'd be like, absolutely. Tom Holland's like, I would love to do it, but I don't need to.
Yeah. Like, Tom Holland's worried about being embarrassing himself on national TV. Like, I'm not.
When do they go back to being live? Do we know? Week or two?
SNL? No.
It's done for the year, man.
They're done? They're done forever. I mean, for the season.
Correct. They take off the summer. That's why generally if there's a skit or a couple of those actors that are going to make movies, they do it during the summer. Right. And then I want to say they don't come back till like late September. Basically, they get back around week three of the NFL season.
Okay.
Right? And then they're done around Memorial Day.
Yeah.
That's just an easy way to remember it. I've been watching that show for years, so that's how it goes. All right, let's see. What are you going to watch tonight? You know what? Frankly, I'm just going to talk about it. I know a lot of people are. A lot of people in this area are South Korean, so they're fired up. Now, Mexico's playing South Korea in a World Cup match. I'm actually going to, as soon as we get out of here, I'm going to go run down with some friends and check that out as well. And I guess, I got to cheer for South Korea.
Okay.
When it comes to football, I just have a hard time cheering for Mexico.
Because they're good?
Yeah, they're like our number one rival.
Thank you, Ted. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Florida cat terrorized the neighborhood, biting five people, also a dog. Meanwhile, flooding in London, a solution is found by chopping on a log. A 91 years old, not good to run into a swarm of bees. Being attacked by a bear inside your home should not put you at ease. And speaking of bears, cops find 34 claws in one man's car. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
All right, our top story. We go to Florida, where they take it to the extreme. Local highway patrol spotted a car around 11 p.m. and clocked them going in excess of 90 miles an hour. They lit him up and pulled him over, and not only was his speeding to a concerning degree, but they suspected that he might be impaired. Now, it wasn't his speech that gave him away, and it wasn't the smell of booze on his breath, but it was the open containers of White Claw that they found in the passenger seat of the car.
This story is unbelievable.
34 of them.
Jesus, man.
Yeah. Not only that, his blood alcohol level measured at an impressive 0.177, which is more than double the legal limit, and he now faces charges.
Impressive. Wow. 34?
No way he drank all those in one sitting.
So
and he's just 0.17.
Right, the photo, I think the cops did pile them all in. So it looked like his passenger seat, like he was just drinking them, putting them over there. But I think it's fair to say he was constantly drinking in there. You're right. If he drank 34, I'd have to think he'd be asleep and passed out. But that's still insane. It's just...
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That, like... First of all, don't drink and drive, but, like, throw them out.
So, right, don't throw the evidence in your own vehicle.
Exactly. Shoot, I've been tailgating where I get nervous if they're in the back of the car.
Dude, I'm with you.
If I go to a tailgate or something, and like when you're leaving, sometimes you just put like half a case or
whatever. Clean up your trash, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or even like on a road trip sometimes, if I know I'm an hour from there and I'm stopped to get beer, like I'll put it in my trunk.
Always.
Until I get to the hotel and then pull it out.
Yes. Yes. To South Carolina with a local show up unannounced. Authorities were called by a concerned local who had an unwanted guest at their door. An alligator that was, quote, posted up right at the front door. A local animal control officer was dispatched to the area, but ran into an issue as they posted on their social media that the gator was, quote, significantly larger than what we are equipped to safely handle under our standard capture guidelines. They called the Department of Natural Resources for assistance and were able to safely secure the gator and relocate it back to a more appropriate setting far away.
I get it geographically, but man, for some reason, whatever it is, South Carolina, me and alligators, they just, it doesn't register that they're actually there.
Right, right.
I don't know why. I mean, makes sense. They are there. But if I'm there, I'm not thinking about that.
Why do they always go to the door? Like, they might be in your pool.
They're polite.
But they never see them, like, in the lawn. It's not just to get your house. They're always at the door.
They're there to tell you, see you later.
Yeah. Ah, good point, good point.
I didn't say it before. Wait, open it back up.
What was the old SNL skit?
Landshark?
Landshark, yeah.
Flowers. Candygram.
I'm definitely not an alligator.
Telegram, man.
Do you have any small pets?
Oh, it's that stupid land shark, isn't it?
Delivery.
That's a damn gator.
We go to Japan where they're prepared for any emergency. A local man was featured in the media as he played his part in a school simulation drill to prepare students for the possibility of an unwanted animal encounter, a bear on the premises.
Did you see the video?
I did. It's just so stupid. To prepare the students, a man donned a full-blown bear costume, got down on all fours, and terrorized the school that he reportedly attacked one person during the exercise before being, quote, hunted down by a bear hunter. They opened fire with tranquilizers, used smoke bombs and firecrackers to startle the actor back into the wild where he belongs.
Where he was actually attacked by a bear.
Wouldn't that be something? That would have been the thing. He runs into the woods and just gets attacked by a bear.
You're coming with me, sweetie.
Oh, no.
Let's go make some cumps.
This is all in response to the uptick in deadly bear attacks in the area. Hey, at least they're trying to get prepared for it.
But I mean, the kids can look at it like that's a dude in a bear outfit. But you're not doing anything to help us.
Right. I'm not scared of that.
Right.
I do things differently when I'm afraid.
You know what? That's a really, really good point.
I can't believe he actually attacked one of the kids. It just seems like you're taking it too far.
We're making this real.
Yeah.
You know, when we had the officers that were in doing the you know, stoner testing there with Miles, and Ted wanted to do it sober, they brought up a great point. Like, you act differently when you know that you're in this situation and when you know that you might get arrested in this situation.
Right. Yeah, right, because that's what I said to him. It's like, I feel like I get nervous. He's like, well, yeah, like, we've pulled you over. Of course you're nervous.
But we can tell when you're high versus when you're sober nervous.
Exactly. You're going to have a different reaction when, you know, there's a bear coming into the school and it's Mr. Johansson coming up to the school in a doggone bear costume.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, throw firecrackers at him. No, if there's a friggin' bear, yeah, I'm
throw a firecracker at him. See how that works.
Speaking of tragic encounters with wildlife, we go to California, where a man did die of natural causes, but not the ones that he likely expected to. A 91-year-old man was found by his neighbor after an apparent attack by bees in his backyard. A medical team arrived after the discovery and confirmed that he, in fact, died as a result of toxic envenomization due to the swarm of hundreds of bees after an apparent inadvertent disturbing of the hive.
Damn.
That sucks. I mean, he can't move, obviously, very well.
Right, you're 91.
So he's just, that's right.
He's just out there working on his yard. And again, he's 91. Like, at that point, you kind of rule out certain things at the age of 91. Bee attacks would be one of those things that I'd rule out.
But if you knew what that guy had been through in his life, 91 years on this planet, and you told him, hey, by the way, you're going to live to 91, but guess how you're going to die? Bees.
Right.
See, this is why I don't want to know how I'm going to die.
Well, I can tell you.
Mike, you're going to die by bees. I'm going to spend the next, I'm 35 at this point, so I'm going to spend the next, you know, just under 60 years wondering where these friggin' bees are going to come from. I finally just calmed down. I'm in the back of my yard at 91 years old, and zap.
You plan on living to be 95?
95?
91, guys. I said less than 30 years.
Oh, we thought you said 35 or 60. Whatever.
I said 60. Yeah.
I'm 35, so a little under 60 years.
Sam, that's a good haul.
Yeah, I mean, good on you. I'm just confident.
55 years.
Get your steps in. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that you got...
Exactly.
You're going to die by bees, but still, live a long...
That'd be a horrible way to go out.
Bees nuts.
All right. Miles, just in case those stories with the bad taste in your mouth.
There's good news.
We go to London, where the animals are paying it forward. A local subway station has been experiencing regular flooding during rainstorms in the area, to the point that officials started considering creating an artificial reservoir to alleviate the situation. This is a really cool story. But then local conservationists came in with the idea of their own that was a lot more simple, releasing animals into the area that could create a natural reservoir. Beavers. For the first time in 400 years, beavers are now living naturally there over in England and have since transformed the area into a natural wetland, and the subway station ceased flooding as a result.
That's what they do. I wonder what they get paid.
It's like bringing in cats to get rid of rats.
Sure.
That's exactly right. I love it.
That's their whole point.
Throw them out there. They'll just make a damn. I love it. How about some men's room sports? You got more World Cup soccer over on FS1 and Fox. Seattle Cricket over on Fox 13 Plus, and baseball wrapping up on MLB Network.
Did you say Seattle Cricket?
Yeah, the Orcas.
Yes.
Okay, I did not know we had a cricket team.
We do.
Yeah. Awesome. We do, and it's fun. That's how I got into cricket last year. As far as the Mariners, they had the rubber match against the O's earlier this afternoon, and it only took 8.5 innings to put that series away as they came out with a win 3-0. They now look forward to tomorrow, where they'll host the Red Sox for a 3-game series this weekend. Steve, please be sure to rub it in your daughter's nose.
Oh, she hates
it. As far as the weather, mostly clear skies are in the forecast for the 3-day weekend, with temperatures ranging from lows in the mid-50s to highs right around 80. We will be back on Monday with a partly cloudy sky with a high of 83. And that is it for your headlines. With that, Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Go Team USA. The lovely Jolene's coming up in just seconds.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The men's room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.